Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before started from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about season 45, Drop the Four, Keep the Five, episode 5. I don't want to be the worm. But first, I stumbled across a TikTok from Jay Maya.
Oh.
That I'm gonna play for us. It interested me. It's like a minute and a half, so we're gonna play all of it. The part that interested me was that it ends with her sharing one of her songs, and it's made me interested in listening to her music, which I haven't done yet, but I'm interested in.
Oh, I've listened to some of her music.
Oh, wow.
You should listen to Sunday Crossword. You would like it a lot.
That's what song is in this that made me think about that. So I'll play it. I guess this isn't new for you then, but for the listener.
Tell me you're a nerd without like telling me you're a nerd.
Hi, I'm Jay Maya, and I am the youngest International Pun Championships award winner in history. Yes, puns. I guess you can call me a pundit. Let me explain. Competitive punning can take many forms. I used to compete in spontaneous punning, a round robin style competition wherein contestants create puns on subjects that are introduced to them on the spot within 5 seconds. At the age of 17, I competed at the World Championships, and I was voted the MVP of the competition, the most valuable punner. You may ask yourself, what does someone do with that? Which is a very good question that I've had to explain to a lot of family members. And the answer for me is you become a recording artist who writes really nerdy songs, one of which comes out tonight. What does wordplay in a song look like? This is a song called Sunday Crossword, which uses the structure of a crossword to describe the excitement of liking someone and not knowing if they like you back.
What's a nine-letter word for how you feel? There's a you and I.
So I thought that was cool, and I like that. What you can't see from just hearing it is in the TikTok, it actually like shows the like what's a seven letter,
Nine
eight
letter word
nine
for,
letter, and it actually has her like she has it like pop up on the screen of like filling it in, and like the U and I together is like the letters U and I like in the middle of the word, and words that would fit or words that wouldn't fit, which I thought was pretty
which
clever.
included this, like if you, because I don't think it's super obvious when you're listening, when she says misguided and disguised, those are both words that fit in with the U and I together. And then unrequited
It's too
is a
long.
10-letter word, so she says her feelings are too big because it's too long.
Yeah, very clever.
Yeah, she has another one that listeners Michael and Sarah should show their son, our nephew Milo, who's really into Greek mythology, called Achilles' Heel. That's like just full of Greek mythology references.
Nice. Yeah, I have on like a list to listen to some of her stuff after seeing that. I was like, "Ooh, that sounds interesting."
Yeah, in the preseason when like she said that she was a recording artist, I looked up some of her stuff and I like I'm into it. I like it.
In other news, we got another listener mail, Laura, responding to our discussion of the Parks After Dark podcast. She said, "I'm not going to go back and find the specific episode titles, and they aren't numbered, but I'm sure you could Google and find them easily." She's giving recommendations. She says, "I'll leave out the true crime for Patrick's sake, but Chris is correct. The episode descriptions are legit. There was a fascinating episode about medicine used during Gettysburg, an interesting one about how a cocaine plane went down in Yosemite, making a lot of people's year. A sad but interesting mystery about a German family whose car broke down in Death Valley. A guy who illegally parachuted on top of Devil's Tower and got stranded." So those are some, just to name a few, she says.
No, those do sound super interesting. Okay, I'll check those out.
All right.
I'm remembering Cocaine Plane in Yosemite. That's what I got.
And then you could just watch Cocaine Bear, which is not in Yosemite, but semi-related.
Also not a podcast that was recommended by our listeners.
No. a movie that I don't think is very good, but it's somewhat fun.
Somewhat fun. That's what I look for in movies.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm not recommending it. Let's talk about this week's episode. I don't want to be the worm. We start with Reba after the tribal council. Sifu wants to talk about who voted for him. Dee and Julie say they're not ready to talk about it. Everybody claims to have written Sean's name, or to have written Sean, but Sifu isn't really buying it. He's very suspicious.
I kind of wanted Jay Maya or Julie to say, like, I voted for Dee. Like, I think Sean must have voted for Sifu. Sorry.
Oh. Yeah, but then why, like, then that would have started a whole new web, like, ball of lies. Like, why would they have voted for Dee?
I mean, they can explain to Sifu, give Sifu some dumb reason about it, and tell Dee, like, no, obviously. Dee knows that's not true.
It would have been hard to hold that lie with, like, just how they camp and, like, they're clearly together. Like, it would have just been a big lie to hold up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. This was all a real big mess. Sifu was very Sifu about all of this.
We head to Bello. They are talking a lot about how they're missing food. They have no energy, which made me ponder and think to ask you, if you were on Survivor like this, I think we've probably talked about this, but like, what is if you could have like a boat show up and it just hands you a food, what would you want?
So I think these are different questions. Like, I think you're asking kind of, I think what I would want is like energy. Like, I would want like some chicken and vegetables and stuff, like some like protein.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would be craving in the way that like Bello is talking about it is probably like,
yeah, but I think you could
have some chicken ice cream.
Well, no, I was going to say like you could take chicken and veggies and make it like more comfort, like chicken pot pie would be like that, but also get like the more comfort food craving a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, then like I would much rather have just like barbecue chicken and like roasted vegetables over chicken pot pie.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right. Kendra sees a worm.
Wait. You mentioned Bello talking about food.
Yeah.
And that is going to spur my game for you.
Okay.
I have a little game that kind of like goes all through the episode a little bit, but there's three questions. And so I think it's fine. Inspired by Rob has a podcast where they do the Survivor B&B, where they play a little game each week. And they did this something similar to this a couple weeks ago called Devil in the Details. So I want to see how much you paid attention to details, Chris, in this episode.
Not my strong point with Survivor. Which I think will be particularly fun,
because I think that you're not very good at paying attention to the details.
I am with some things, but I don't know.
I think that Survivor, you'll get at least two of these three.
Something about Survivor, which shouldn't be the case, because we do a whole podcast about the show, but boy, do things about Survivor just leave my brain instantly once I see them.
Well, this first question, I think, is the hardest.
Okay.
It is, which of these foods did Bello not dream about?
Okay, so this is multiple choice?
Yes.
I can handle that. I got probability on my side. I can just make a guess.
A glass of Merlot, a bowl of chocolate, or a cup of ice cream?
Well, I'll be honest. None of those sound familiar. I'm going to say...
One of the reasons why I picked this question is because I think that they mentioned the containers. A glass of Merlot, a bowl of chocolate, and a cup of ice cream.
Right. Well, then that makes me think...
They only mentioned two of those.
Right. That makes me think... Now I'm like metagaming it. I was going to say ice cream, but because it's the containers that really made this jump out for you, I'm going to say Merlot.
It was ice cream.
Wow. Then I wish you hadn't given that explanation, because I would have stuck with my ice cream guess.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I think that... I think maybe the Merlot was like particularly striking in that one for me, of just like,
yeah, that's why I wasn't going to pick that. And then you said the whole thing about the containers, and I was like, well, bowl of chocolate and cup of ice cream are weird containers, so it's got to be those.
I'm sorry, shouldn't have said anything. Question number two, that kind of relates to the worm that you were about to talk about. What is Kendra's motto?
Oh, I could look at my notes for this, but whatever. Is it whatever? It's something like that.
You're missing a word.
Is it like dude whatever? I don't know the word I'm missing.
I mean, I can give you my multiple choice, but it's going to give it away. My multiple choice is go with the flow, it's chill, or whatever, man.
Oh, whatever, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I put that in my notes somewhere, maybe. But yeah, I can get behind that. Although I don't know that she fully embraces it, but you can't always fully embrace your motto.
Yeah. She also calls it her mantra later on. I wrote this question. I was like writing these questions as I noticed fun details. And then she repeated it a couple times in the episode. And I was like, ooh, that one might be. My last question for you is, later on, Brando is going to talk a lot about Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
Which of these things does he not say about Pokemon Go? So he's going to say two out of these three. That it has 1 in 400 odds for a shiny Pokemon. That you can transfer Pokemon to home. Or that they've introduced remote raids for Pokemon.
He definitely talks about transferring to home. And he definitely talks about probability percentage. But I don't know if it's specifically with rares. I'm going to say the remote raids is what he does.
You're right. Say. Yeah, you're right. There's a fun little montage of him just like saying random things about Pokemon Go. And I still play Pokemon Go pretty much every day. And like very weirdly, I play every day, but I'm still very casual. I'm not like super into it in the sense like I don't like. I am pretty into it. I do not plan my day around like making sure that I play Pokemon Go. Like I didn't play at all today and stuff. Like some people, and it seems like Brando might be pretty intense about it. But I was like, oh, I know what he's talking about. And this just sounds like mumbo jumbo to most people. But I understand all of these things that he's saying, which was kind of fun. That was my game, Devil in the Details. I might bring that back a little bit later. Listeners, let me know if you like it.
I liked it. I'm not a listener, but I liked it.
Maybe it would have been better if I would have been like, this is going to be a Devil in the Details episode. And then as these things come up in our talk, I ask you the question. I'll play with it.
Okay, cool. Let's jump back in where we were with Bello. Kendra sees a worm and thinks about eating it. Brando says it's 70% protein and 30% poop. She does try to eat it, but immediately coughs it back up. Which I think Tyson has talked about before on his podcast about like eating bugs and stuff, and basically said it's not worth it. Like you're not getting enough from them to warrant any risk of like with like worms because of like the poop or like whatever disease they could have in them or something.
Yeah, I agree. I do think like most food is like protein or fat or carb, like macronutrient wise. This, I know it was a joke to say 70% protein, 30% poop, but like, poop's got to be protein or carb or fat, right? There's got to be something in there. What macronutrient is poop?
I don't know. I don't know the word macronutrient. I mean, but like, yeah, I don't know. For things like
maybe
a worm.
I'm wrong. Poop has virtually no nutrients in it. So
I mean, that's the whole point. Like the body would have already sucked out all the nutrients.
That's fair.
Now, I do wonder, though, for other species, like if I were to eat human feces, probably not getting nutrients from that because it's passed through a human. And so like the good stuff's already been pulled out. But like the nutrients I need might be different from the nutrients of like a worm. So maybe a worm, I could eat a worm poop and get some stuff out of it.
I mean, yeah, because like worm poop is like rich soil.
So like, I wonder if they're...
I mean, I guess I don't eat dirt to get nutrients, but...
Right. I mean, but yeah, like any animal, like are there animals that there, I guess probably not benefits to eating the poop, but like you could get like where the poop would have nutrients that that animal doesn't need, but humans would need. I don't know. We need to get a fecalologist on here.
I mean, what are eggs except chicken poop, you know?
I'm pretty sure that's not how that works.
Think about it.
Instead of thinking about that, how about how Kendra asks if people on Bello believe in aliens.
And
I noted that because Emily is on there. And I was like, man, Emily's got to be part of an alien conversation again.
But she handles this one so much better. I was like, man, she's grown.
I mean, the last one she didn't say no, I don't think. She just like was like, I've never thought about it before.
Yeah, that's true. That was better like decent for Emily, but I was like, oh, she is like engaging with Kendra on this in a way that I don't think she would have with Sabaya in the beginning of the game. But I do like I'm so desperate to know if she was just like, why the fuck does everyone want to talk about aliens?
It'll be I hope in her eventual exit interview or after the season interview that somebody asks her about that.
For the like congressional hearings about aliens.
What about it?
You remember like the congressional hearings about aliens? About like UFOs? When were those? Were those like right before they left?
No idea.
Oh no, they were in July. They were after they got back. Man, so Emily went to Survivor. Everyone kept talking about aliens, and then she got home and she was like, why is everybody so obsessed with aliens?
Other stuff on Bello, Brando, and Drew are talking strategy a little bit. Brando says to him that Kendra is cool, but she can be a lot. So they're thinking of like maybe going for her. They nerd out about Pokemon. And because of that, Brando's like, hey, Drew, Emily, what about a nerd alliance? And Drew's like, no, don't want to do
Yeah,
that. Which really blew up online because everybody's like, it doesn't matter what you actually think. Like, you just say yes, always.
right, exactly. And Brando said in some exit press, like, he's like, I was shocked by that. I didn't plan on keeping to that either, but like, come on, you gotta just say yes.
Brando tells Kendra that Drew and Austin are maybe going to be voting for her. He also tells Emily that she's in a good spot and that Kendra and him would be happy with her. So we'll see more of that later in the episode as Emily is the swing vote and having to decide which side she wants to be part of. On Lulu, we start off there where Jake gets up and is lightheaded and collapses to the ground, shakes a bit. Kelly, who's a nurse, steps in and explains like medically what's going on, or what she thinks what happened was basically he just stood up and got lightheaded. He's a little angry and defensive, mostly because he's scared of getting pulled like medevac, and he's just worried about that happening. We get a little backstory from him about how he lost a lot of weight over the past couple of years, and that also has led to his frustration because he's like, I worked so hard on myself, and for this to be happening is frustrating.
Specifically, he's like, I tried to like, I he was having health problems, and so he lost a bunch of weight to fix that, or to like try to like help with those health problems. And he's like, I worked so hard to like try to get my body healthy, and it's still not cooperating. And what the fuck, basically.
Yeah, so do you think this is going to happen? I was surprised we didn't see a med check. Like, I would think after this happening twice, they would have had one. And so I wonder if like nothing came of it, and so they didn't show us, or maybe they didn't have one because it wasn't, they didn't deem it to be like completely necessary.
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I wonder if they, like, producers would have, like, offered it to him, but he is allowed to say no or whatever.
Well, I
And,
don't think that, like, then people are going to refute, like, that's not safe.
well, but, like, with big things like Bruce last season or something, like, that's not.
Right, but you don't know if it's a big thing unless you do the med check.
I'm thinking of, like, Bruce in Panama. Who like was like constipated and pooped for like days on end. I think that they like was offered and he said no a couple times and then like eventually did say like, yeah, I want med team to come in.
Gotcha.
So I'm trying to think of something like that where they're like, we don't really know how you feel. There's not an obvious external thing. Like, you seem to be doing okay. And he describes like, is this so weird that I'm just like hanging around camp and this happens because like I'm doing great at challenges. Which is true.
I wonder if they also like if producers would like take that footage of it happening and show it to like a med team, and they deduce the same stuff that Kelly did, basically of like, I think you're just getting like you're like dehydrated or malnourished and you just got lightheaded, and they're like, yeah, that seems about right, so we don't need to do anything.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought on it too. There is a fun moment where, not fun, that's not the right word for it. Like this happens, and then he's like trying to like lighten the mood, and he's like, Bruce, you gotta like make fun of me or yell at me or something like that. And Bruce is like, I don't know, I just can't right now. And I was like, oh, Bruce is like remembering when this happened to him, and it's like, it's like triggering his trauma. Like Bruce kind of like shuts down a little bit when he sees this happen to Jake, and I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I've been like kind of fascinated because I work with trauma a lot, and I've had my own traumatic experiences, and I'm very fascinated to watch like Bruce maneuver through like all of these triggers of his own trauma that have happened. And this was just another piece of that.
Right. Other stuff on Lou Camp. Keturah goes to camp and sees that everybody's gone. So she starts doing some idol hunting. And the rest of the group walks up on her and sees it. And she denies it. Or I guess not everybody technically sees it. Caleb did, but and tried to like warn her by being like, hey, Keturah. But she denies looking for it until Caleb is like, I straight up saw you. He's trying to gain her confidence. She says that she trusts him. Then they show a montage of Caleb bonding with like everybody, except for Kelly, which then that like he bonds with like Bruce and Jake and Keturah, and then he goes to Kelly and tells her that Sabaya found the idol here and this buys her some trust.
Yeah, because Caleb is like, I feel like I'm collecting people on my side and I need Kelly, because he says, which is interesting to me, that like he's like, I know that all of them are really tight with Kelly and all of them want to work with Kelly because they're telling me that, and so I need to get in with Kelly and she hasn't been letting me in. And so he goes and shares this via information in order to like get in there, which I'm a little bit nervous for Caleb, because like I think he does a very good job this episode, but I also think that he could get caught in some of this.
Oh yeah, I think he's playing too hard.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared.
He's either like, I think he's got like a double whammy almost of like, he's playing too hard, and so people might be like, oh, you're not actually forming strong connections, like you're just like, you're forming game connections more than like actual connections. Or people are gonna just see him as a threat because they're like, everybody loves Caleb, we got to get rid of him.
I think he's going to be out like final eight, final nine because of the threat.
Yeah. Other stuff on Lulu before we get to the challenge. Keturah mentions wanting push presents when she has a baby, which some of them haven't heard of. Bruce thinks it's a dumb idea. Bruce's anti push presents.
He's like, the baby is your push present. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Not a great look for Bruce. Some of them want, oh, they get, wait, do they have, oh, they're deciding like how to portion out their food. And some suggest like, why don't we save it for tomorrow when we have a challenge? And Bruce says that's the dumbest thing. And then tries to like,
he stops himself.
Yeah. Tries to stop himself. Like, it's not the dumbest thing. But then this is not a good episode for Bruce.
Then he says, so bad.
Yeah. He also says in like a confessional, he says, people my age don't debate things. And I was like, Bruce, like, that, what are you talking about? Like, that's not a good thing. Like, that's not a good, like, we don't debate things. We just do stuff. I'm like, well, maybe you should debate things or talk about things.
And also, if you like are noticing that as a generational thing, you're the only one of your generation on this tribe. So you got to acclimate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't force them to come to you. You got to acclimate to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. They're just showing some of the tribe dynamics. Caleb is annoyed with him, but he's trying to play nice. On Reba tribe,
Caleb is annoyed, and it shows some of what is annoying him. And Bruce is like being a total jackass. Like, it's not just annoyance. It is like, Bruce is like, come on, can't you cut that coconut faster?
Oh, yeah. He's
like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there was...
see, like, fury in Caleb's eyes, but Caleb has a confessional of, like, I'm going to just, like, listen to him and play nice so that I can stab him in his back so hard.
I saw a Reddit post talking about how they wish they could have seen Bruce and Carolyn interact. To see, like, Bruce try to say stuff like that to Carolyn would have been good television.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree.
On Reba, the women are talking. They're annoyed that Sean told Sifu that he didn't vote for him. because it's like he like that was especially weird. I don't know. I guess Sean probably didn't really think about it, but because he was like mostly had sided with the women when he chose to quit or ask to get voted out. But then by telling Sifu that, it guaranteed that Sifu then was going to be wondering what was going on with them.
I saw some people complaining about this week online, and I think I disagree with you. Like, yes, he was closer with the women. Sean did not volunteer that information, though. Like, I think that I would feel that way if Sean had gone to Sifu at Tribal Council and been like, it wasn't me. But, like, Sifu, Sean was, like, giving everybody a hug, and Sifu whispered in his ear, like, did you vote for me? And so Sean either has to very quickly lie, mm-hmm. he wasn't expecting it, they totally ignore him, which is, like, rude and mean, or just tell the truth and say no.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I don't think that he was trying to be malicious or something. I think that he was just, like, he was asked a quick question, he was answering a quick question.
That is true. We see that Sifu made a fake idol from some things around camp, and that, which I was like, okay, that's good to maybe have in case they like come looking for it or find, like, but then he like just straight up tells D like, hey, I got an idol. And I was like, I don't know if that's the best move, but.
We also get a lot this episode of like D and Julie without Jay around talking about how they are afraid that Sifu has an idol. And I am like, you know that Austin has an idol. You know where it is. You helped find it.
Yeah, but it's also in this era of Survivor, like there's many advantages and idols, and so they might just be worried there's an extra.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I just was like they saw in season 44 that like there were some fake idols and stuff, but it's like Sifu didn't place the idol inside of a rock to break with a hammer. Like you clear, like Austin clearly.
Oh no, I'm not saying that, but like maybe that they're just worried that there's two idols at the camp.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm just like, how are they so? I don't know. I'm still surprised.
So then the strategy that gets talked about is that Jay Maya will take the fall for the Sifu vote and like own up to it, and play up to him that she's on the outs, so he doesn't play his idol, so that way they could like blindside him. And then
Sifu confronts Jay Maya with this very awkward, like, so in Tai Chi, we have what's called push hands, where you kind of just like have to feel the energy and push your opponent. I'm pretty good at it. And then he just walks away. Mm. And Jay's like, it's me and that he's trying to intimidate me or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which she does have a really great line of like, it's going to take more than that. But so then she is like, okay, fine. If he already thinks it's me, I'll just like lean into that.
Yeah. And so she tells that to Dee and Julie. And then when she's not around, Dee's like, but what if we just actually vote for Jay? Like, instead of pretending like we're going to, why don't we just actually do it? Which I was interested to kind of see how that would go down, but we do not see that this episode.
Yeah. This is another thing that made me scared. I've really liked Caleb and Dee, and we already talked about it with Caleb, but this with Dee, I was like, I think you're playing too hard. Like, no, there's no need to vote Jay out, who, like, totally trusts you right now. Vote out Sifu.
Yeah, especially, like, when we're on the small tribes like this, if you've got, like, a good thing going where you can last another, like, cycle or two, because she knows, like, if they focus on Sifu or Jay, like, she knows that her and Julie are tight and that Jay is, like, kind of in with them. So it's like, okay, well, Sifu can be your target, then Jay Maya can be your target. Like, you have enough ammo to last until the merge, hopefully, so you don't need to shake things up this early.
Right, exactly.
We go to the challenge where they have to race through a 3-level obstacle course collecting keys, and 3 people do, and then the last player releases a hook to get sandbags and slingshot them at targets. The reward is immunity and fish. Emily and Kelly sit out of this challenge. Kelly's not happy about sitting out.
Her truck kind of like nominates her to sit out, and she's a little pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, did anyone like really impress you during this challenge? Did you notice? I noticed
no.
Jay went so fucking fast through the like obstacle course maze thing, and I was shocked because she has not been like on my mind as like a big like really great at challenges person, but she was so fast for Reba. Like Reba ends up getting first place, and I think it is in large part because Jay like rocked this real hard. I
I
was
think this
very
was
impressed.
probably a good challenge for her too, because it was a little bit of maneuvering in like tight quarters, and she's a pretty like small person, and so that was probably helped. So this doesn't come up this episode, which means it's probably not the case, but we know that in a previous season they hid an advantage or a beware advantage or something in Fish Prize. And it never got like discovered or whatever. They just like threw it out when they were gutting the fish or something. So I was wondering if that was going to happen here when they like were giving out the fish prizes, but we didn't see anything from it. So we don't know.
I thought the same thing. That was in season 42.
I also do think it's, I mean, maybe they would bring that back, but it is a little lopsided to be like, okay, well, these teams who already won a reward, let's give them more rewards by hiding it in their reward seems a little lopsided, but Survivor does that sometimes.
Yeah, I thought about that with we've seen them like hide advantages on like the sit out bench before. And so I've been like, ooh, when like Kelly and Emily are sitting out, maybe there's something over on the bench. But then I'm like, that just feels like it hurts Reba, who's already down a person,
Right. Yeah, I was thinking that
like,
too.
'cause since they don't get to sit someone out, that's rough. But
Yeah, so Reba ends up doing well winning this. Lulu gets second and Bello loses. And we find out that Reba also gets to send people on a journey. And so they send Jay, Kelly, and Austin. Their reasoning is
they,
Kelly because she had to sit out, and Austin because they know him and they want to find out information, basically.
yeah, I was like, that is a huge target you're painting on Austin's back when he's gonna be gone while his, the rest of his tribe is talking about who to vote at tribal. It's like, that is terrible. Luckily, it doesn't negatively impact Austin here, but I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
So we get some time at, well, I guess let's talk about the journey and then we can just do all of Bello once before Tribal Council. So the journey, they have to hike to the top of this like hill mountain on the island where they're offered two choices, either sustenance or strategy. So they can get a sandwich and orange juice, or they can get this amulet. They were all three of them would get an amulet, and the amulets must be played all at once. If three are played, they collectively get an extra vote. If two are played, they get a steal a vote, and if one is played, they get a full idol. Or if like, I guess I've worded that weird. If three people play all the amulets, so like one for each of them, that's the extra vote. If there's only two people left, then it's a steal vote. If there's one left, it's an idol, and it can be used until there are six players. How do you think playing of it works? Like they have to announce at Tribal Council?
I have no idea. I don't like this is all very confusing to me.
Like
I
who gets
wonder
the
if they
extra
like,
vote?
right, exactly. I don't know if it's like a maybe each of them have to mention when they are voting, like, hey, I want to use my amulet and I want the extra vote to be for this person. And like all three of them have to do that. And then the third person gets to write it or something.
Or what if it's, oh, that's probably not going to be the case. I was going to say, what if it's like stronger than what it led on, and that it's if all three choose to play it, they all get extra.
Oh, I don't think it's that.
Or if two choose, then they both get steal of votes. Or if it's down to one, then they just get a full idol.
I would like it if they did not have to be played all together, and it was just like if there are three left in the game, they are extra votes. So if you play it or you get voted out, then the other two upgrade into like a steal a vote.
Oh, yeah, that would be interesting.
But I think what they're trying to do is like get these people to team up and like be like a forced alliance. But I agree with Austin here that he says like this is not a token of an alliance, this is a token of war,
Yeah, it's
of
not a
like
very good, it's not a very good advantage. Like, I was fully with Austin of like, just eat the big sandwich.
right. Yeah, I think that it's yeah, you gotta go for the sandwich here. And specifically, like Jay wants the amulets and Austin wants the sandwiches, and then Kelly is like the deciding vote, who is like the one person not from original Reba, and so like the easier target for the other two to come after, I think.
Yeah, I
And
don't know
so
why
I think
she
Kelly
should have.
specifically made a bad decision here.
Yeah, she should have gone food for sure.
I Jay think a does, lot of people that made terrible decisions this episode.
Jay suggests that they make a pact that they don't go for each other until there's seven left in the game. And they're like, yep, sure, sounds good. And then
I thought that was very fun because you could use the amulets until there are six people left in the game. And so she's like, you know, eventually we're going to come after each other.
Yeah.
Just like not for a while, though.
Just at the end. And then it has a confessional where she's like, today was the best day ever. And then it cuts to Austin in the confessional saying, today was the worst day ever.
Yes, it was great editing.
And he wants to take Austin. Them out. He's like, I want to take them out because they stopped me from getting food. Like, I have a vengeance now.
Yes, I need revenge because of the sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of...
very excited for that arc. I really hope it comes back.
Yeah, I hope it goes, like, all the way to the end. Like, that's his jury question is, like, I'm not voting for you because you stopped me from getting a sandwich. We got time with Bello before the journey and after the journey. Emily asks, like, so do you want to do chaotic scrambling or organized scrambling? And they're like, well, we might as well do organized. Everybody talks to everybody. And they're like, okay. I liked the upfrontness with that, and having it be organized makes sense because it's like, we're all going to talk to each other anyways. Like, let's just do it, like, in an organized fashion.
Yeah, I agree with you that I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. But then I was like, I think the chaos is a little bit important because you need to be able to, like, take information from one conversation to another so they can't be too ordered, which ends up happening. Like, they do, like, their organized thing and then break up, and then, like, there is more discussion from that afterwards.
Yeah, I think it was more of her way of just, like, getting them started and being like, do we want to pretend like we're not going to be scrambling to, like, talk to each other, or can we just, like, go ahead and start and, like, talk to each other? Emily and Kendra talk. Kendra wants to go for Drew. She says, I don't want to be the worm, but Drew's going to be the worm tonight, which is the name
that's the name of the episode.
Of the episode.
Yes.
So
I missed it.
Brando's gives Drew the shot in the dark. He's like, you can hold on to this. Keep me instead of Kendra. And Drew says, there's no need to do that. Which in his exit interview, apparently he went back and offered it again, and Drew actually took it for like a minute or so and then felt bad and gave it back.
Yeah.
Drew tells this to Emily, and she's confused because I don't remember why she was confused by this.
Because Brando and Kendra were like supposed to be working together.
Oh, right.
And
yes, she, yes,
like
yes,
they
yes.
were pitching her on being like a threesome together. And so she was like, what the fuck? Why would Brando like try to turn on Kendra like this? This doesn't make any and yeah, Drew's so like, no, it did happen though.
Yeah, she takes it to Brando and he's like, nope, that was Drew's idea. Which I thought was like kind of a good move on Brando's part to like just start sowing some dissension here. But instead it just put a target on his back and made them flip to talking about him rather than Kendra.
Yeah, I what he was trying to do with all of this was get Drew to target Kendra instead of target him, but he overplayed. There's a lot of overplaying happening this episode.
Austin comes back from the journey. He tells them that it was a sustenance versus sweat challenge, and that they've failed the sweat challenge of carrying coconuts up and down a hill, and so they didn't get anything. Which I thought was a decent lie. It'll be interested to hear what the others tell their tribes if they show that.
So
to
there
us
was
or
a
not.
Secret scene with Kelly explaining to her tribe, and she uses the same lie. So
oh,
I
okay,
think
I was wondering about that. That's good.
It was very believable from Austin because he was like, it was the fucking worst. I hated it so much. And I was like, but he did hate it. Like,
yeah.
Even with what happened, he still hated it.
Yeah.
He sold it so easily.
Yeah. He sold it well. But then he tells Drew the truth. And Drew's like, well, clearly we need to vote them out. And Austin's like, yeah. It was nice that when he told, like, it's clear they have the same like strategy in mind that Drew was like, well, obviously we got to get rid of him, which is what Austin was planning on anyways.
Right.
They're wondering if they should tell Emily about this. And so they end up doing it to gain her trust because they need her for this vote. And that's where we are at when we head into tribal council, which is a pretty standard discussion. They go vote. Austin sacrifices his vote to extend his beware advantage idol that he had earlier that only lasted for one tribal council. So he sacrifices his vote, but then he uses his goodwill advantage to restore his vote to let him vote. And
yeah,
So Brando
Which now
was
means
both.
that Beware Advantage lasts until the merge, which is next episode.
Yeah. And Brando gets voted out 3-2. Kendra is surprised. They give a preview for next week, which seems like it's a merge of, is it 13 people? Or 14,
yeah.
13, right? Which seems big, right? Or
it
no?
Says
or I guess they've done.
I think.
Yeah.
I think episode 6 is normal for New Era.
They also show potentially original Reba being back together. And Caleb saying, I'm not Batman, I'm the Canadian.
Which is the name of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and guess that Caleb says that next episode.
Some of the advantages that are still in the game, Austin has that idol until the merge, like we just talked about, and he has an amulet. Jemiah has an amulet, Kelly has an amulet, and then Drew still has the safety without power advantage. I think that's all the ones we know about. There was one mentioned in the exit interview from Brando that when they got their buffs, when they did the tribe swap, in his buff was like some sort of rolled up parchment for like an advantage or something that he just threw in his pocket because he didn't want to open it in front of everybody. And then the producers took it from him because apparently it was something that he had to open when they got their buffs. And so he doesn't actually know what it was.
Yeah. That would be devastating.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm... My guess, and I guess, I don't know if I had this thought or I probably just saw on Reddit, was that it might have been like he could swap with somebody. Because otherwise, I don't know why they would, why it would have to be done like at that time.
That is what he says in his exit press of like, he thinks that it was, that he could like choose the tribes differently or do something about that. But yeah, I'll never know. I hope that they do something similar in season 46.
So we can actually see it.
Because sometimes they reuse things in like consecutive seasons so that we at least get to know like what it was.
Yeah. Fantasy wise, we need to pick an MVP of the episode.
And I just said that a lot of people misplayed or overplayed. So I'm not sure who I'm going to say here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people fucked up this episode. I think I'm going to...
I think I know. I'll say. All right. 3-2-1.
Austin. I think we had similar reasons. I have a general rule that I don't like to pick someone who had to go to tribal council, but I was like, I don't think that anyone deserves it on the other two tribes.
Yeah.
So I had to go with that one. And Austin got an advantage and played it well, even though he didn't even want it. And I think that Drew might have gone home if he wasn't able to like smooth things over with Emily. So I think that he like kind of saved that. So that's why I picked Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. I went with Emily just because she came into this tribe in a tough spot of being the like singleton and has done well to like, she wasn't just trusting everybody's information. She was like making sure to talk to everybody to like get the full story and then still was able to come in tight with Austin and Drew. And I actually do think that like they're not just like using her for a number. They're gonna like actually hold on to her at the merge.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It will be interesting because they, before the tribe swap, they were paired up with Dee and Julie. And so it'll be interesting to see if they, who they like, if they'll pull in Emily. I guess they probably would because they still are gonna want numbers. So they need like at least a couple more to like get majority.
I'm really interested in how this is going to go because like she basically had a choice of like, do I side with Reba or do I side with Bello? Mm-hmm. And she's chosen original Reba, but Caleb, her like bestie from Lulu, is surrounded by Bello people, and so like the two of them are very much stuck in the middle between, and I'm really really interested to see how that's going to go.
I wonder if original Reba will like reform plus Emily. That would be
that'd be seven.
Seven.
The original Reba still has everybody.
Right. And then Caleb might do the thing of like trying to be a swing voter and it annoys people and so they just get rid of him.
Maybe, but I think that he'd be able to navigate that a little bit better. I think that Caleb and Emily might do the Tika 3 thing of like playing the two sides off of each other and just being able to like, because they have ins in both places, being able to have all of the information and just like a little bit bouncing back and forth or like voting incorrectly on purpose or things like that.
I'm very interested to see. So fantasy wise, Patrick is leading with 7 people still and 651 points, and I'm down to 5 people with 597 points, but still a lot of season to go. We don't have like, we have, a, I guess we're like half my people are overlapped with you. You have Jake, I have Jake, you have Caleb, I have Caleb, and Kelly and Kelly, but I have Drew and Keturah, and you don't have either of those. So I just need them to do well and for you to lose like D and J Maya
and Austin.
Austin, yeah.
Austin is like my biggest point getter. He's why I'm winning.
Yeah, he's the biggest of the whole season by a wide margin.
It's like his 50 advantages.
Last week, we predicted that Sifu or Bruce would say the episode title, and we were wrong. It was, who was it? Kendra?
It was Kendra.
And then we predicted that Kendra or Jake would be gone, and we were wrong. I was close. I was getting excited. I was like, ooh, I'm going to be right.
You were really close. But...
And then Brando messed up. And our final threes still going strong. I don't know if we've ever had both of us had our final threes last this long.
Yeah, all the way to the merch.
Kelly, Sifu, Jake for me, and Kelly, Austin, D for Patrick, which I'm feeling better about yours than mine probably, but we'll see. Next episode title is, we already saw, said by Caleb. So we're both going to be correct about that.
Oh, no, I said it first, so you have to pick someone else.
We need to pick our next boot.
I'm going to say C. I think that Reba, they're going to target Reba, original Reba, because original Reba is still going strong, and Reba might be like, yeah, we'll sacrifice Sifu for you. Go ahead, basically.
I don't think they would do, they would be cool with sacrificing. They need the numbers. And if so, they can convince Sifu to like vote with them. I think.
Yeah, but I could see Sifu being like, look, I'm on the outs. I'm going to like flip over to Bello. And.
Yeah, so then that, Bello wouldn't vote them out, him out. They'd vote out like Austin or Drew.
I think Bello would be wary of that. And he's also like maybe viewed as a challenge threat. So it'd be like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. I also think, honestly, this is probably like a mergatory if it's like the last 4 seasons. And so like half of them are immune if it goes the way that we expect it to go. So.
Yeah,
it's a real top up because of that.
I mean, I think if original Reba holds and Emily is with them, then it's going to be a Bello person that goes. And so I'll say, man, who would they view as like the biggest? I'm going to say Bruce, maybe.
I think Bruce is also at, like, I will be actually a little surprised if we are both wrong. I really feel like it's got to be one.
Third time I've chosen Bruce. Don't have a great record for that. Our season long predictions, advantages, non-idol advantages. Do those 3 amulets count as 3 amulets? That's like 3, right?
I think it counts as 1.
Even though 3 different people have it.
Yeah, but like they have to be used together as one thing.
Okay. Sounds good. We did not have a unanimous vote or live tribal. So we are up to 3 non-idol advantages.
Yes.
Do you, am I forgetting something? I feel like the last couple of times I have. Do you have a luxury item?
I do. So last night, Kayla and I were looking for we do not watch a lot of movies because we tend to not have a lot of time where we can just like sit down and watch a couple hours of something. But we were like, we want to watch a movie last night. So I had remembered you recommending a long time ago, I think on the podcast, the movie Barbarian, which is like a horror movie that came out last year. And so we watched Barbarian. It's on Max. It was great. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to give too much away. It's about the first 5 minutes are a woman going to an Airbnb and discovering that someone else is already staying in the Airbnb for the night because for reasons and trying to like figure that out a little bit, and then they discover more about this Airbnb essentially. And wow, it takes some wild turns and a lot happens. And I was a big fan. It was good. Yeah. I have thought about it more and it has really creeped me out in the past 24 hours. So, Barbarian, give it a watch if
Yeah,
you're into horror movies.
it's a great one. What do I want to recommend?
I will say with Barbarian, some trigger warnings for like sexual assault and things like that, because that is a big theme of the movie. So just beware.
Man, I don't know what to recommend. I've been rewatching some of House, the TV show. I could recommend that, I
Oh, yeah.
suppose. It's pretty fun. It's like been a good, I've watched it before multiple times, and so it's been a kind of just a background thing that I throw on while I like do other stuff, and I'm enjoying it. I'm weirdly on this watch, really don't care much about the medicine. I'm just watching it for like the storylines. But most of the episode is the medicine. So
Yeah.
it's a lot of stuff to watch just for the story.
Yeah, I feel like I mentioned this previously, but I've been watching through Grey's, and I feel like Grey's Anatomy meshes the storyline with the medicine a little bit more than House does. But maybe I'm misremembering House.
Yeah, I mean, House, there's usually some sort of like little bit of a parallel, but I did a, that was when I first started watching Grey's, I was surprised by how much medicine was in the show because I always had assumed it was more like soap opera sort of stuff and not there was like there wasn't that much medicine. And so I was pleasantly surprised that there is a lot of medicine in it.
I guess a lot of the like storyline, like character storyline that happens is medical, like people having medical emergencies. Like almost every episode of Grey's Anatomy has a main character as a patient, which that is very rare in House.
That a main character is a patient.
Or their family member, or like, yeah, yes.
All right,
Almost
listener.
every main character has been a patient, and I'm only like 3.5 seasons in. It's
Oh,
a
no,
lot.
I don't deny that, but not that every episode. Like, there's only so many main characters.
I mean, there's a lot of main characters. I get like, I just watched an episode where, like Bailey's son was a patient. So like, it, I guess not necessarily he's not a main character, but like, the storyline was impacted
Yeah,
by the patient
I
in that
guess
way.
it probably falls off some too because you've watched like 100 episodes out of 700 episodes or something. And so like eventually they move on to other people or something. Listeners,
Yeah.
let us know if you've got any movie recommendations, horror movie recommendations for the spooky season, or old TV shows. What's your favorite thing to rewatch? Let us know. Let us know what food you would like shipped to you on an island if you were on Survivor. Email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com. And for this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oh, yeah.